Okay, we're about to begin a new sugya, but it really is very much coming on the heels of the previous sugyas. So just to recap, put ourselves in perspective, we've been learning the last several weeks already, the din of Yehar V'Yavar, and we realize that there are three different categories of Yehar V'Yavar. There are the Gimel Averos HaChamura, so the regular rise and Shuvah Zdamim, which really under all circumstances are Yehar V'Yavar. Then there's basically other Yisurim in the Torah that depend upon the context. Is it for Hesya? Is it not for Hesya? Then the third all-encompassing category was Shas HaShmad. Shas HaShmad seemed to be there's persecutions, religious persecutions, so that's a disaster. Now again, whether that's always Yehar V'Yavar, are there certain even exceptions to that rule? We spoke a lot about assays and los assays and things that are not really Yisurim, and what's the nature of this halacha, what's called Shas HaShmad. But again, the three basic categories do exist. So it's with this background that the Gemara asks one of the most famous questions, the halachic slash Tanakh question, the sugya of Yehar V'Yavar, which starts a whole world, an array of different halachic issues that come up, which opens up our eyes to many, many sugyas and shas. We're going to ask the famous question in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Daled Amud Beis. It's about 12 lines or so from the top. For Esther Farhesya Havoy. Esther was involved in some kind of an aveira with Achashverosh. We're not even addressing when she comes to him willingly at the end in order to save Klal Yisrael. We're talking about all the time in the interim, all the years in between, when she is continuing to live, presumably the Issa with Achashverosh, and it was for Hesya. People knew about it. Now, not everybody knew about it. Achashverosh and Haman didn't know about it, but there was a minion of Jews who knew about it. So if Esther was in violation of something before Hesya, so why didn't the rules of Yehar V'Yavar apply? So the Pesukim in the Megillah clearly don't indicate that way, that Esther was doing what she was doing, and Mordechai gave her the green light to do it. And what happened? Esther for Hesya Avoy. So Gemara says, no. That this is an exception to the rules of Hesya for one of two reasons. Amar Abaye, Esther karka olam hoysa. That she wasn't actively doing anything, she was passively violating, like an Isha generally in Bia is passive. So that's called Isha karka olam, Esther karka olam, and therefore it's not Yehar V'Yavar. Rabba Amahanos Atzman Shad. Rabba says, no. For Hesya doesn't mean just 10 people know about it. It means 10 people know about it, and it's being done as an attack on religion. Now again, it's not an organized attack like a Shas HaShmad. When it's a governmental king persecution, that's a whole different category. Here we're talking about it's one guy is coming after us and trying to cause trouble and making us violate Yisurim, betoras, to be bevaz of the Torah and mitzvahs. That's called for Hesya. But if the guy is doing it, as the Gemara is going to give an example a little later, he's hungry, he wants a good piece of meat. So he puts a gun to his head and says, cook this meat for me, even though it's Shabbos. So if the guy tells me to cook the meat for him, prepare the steak for him, that's Tanos Atzman. If he tells me to cook the meat and throw it to the garbage, then you know that he's doing it just Lahavir Ladas. That's called for Hesya. So the bottom line is that Esther met both of these conditions, Abaye's condition of Kak Olam and Rav's condition of Hanos Atzman Shaini, and therefore we can wiggle out and sneak out and not be worried with the kasha Esther for Hesya. Ad kan tivi hagemar. So the problem that all the Rishonim deal with is very, very large doses. Balmor, Ramban, just about everybody asks the same question. Wait a second. Esther for Hesya Havra sounds like the only question that we're raising, the only red flag in the sugya of Esther is the fact that it was for Hesya. Implying that if not for the dinner for Hesya, we wouldn't have been bothered. We wouldn't have asked the kasha. There was no other reason for Esther to be Moshe Nefesh. What's that? Wasn't Aveira that she was involved with Achashverosh, wasn't that within the Gimla Chamuros B'Yosef? Wasn't that Gilei Arayos? Now, assuming that you think that's a question, there's a further breakdown as to why you think that's a question. You may think that's a question because, after all, she's living with a goy. Isn't that Gilei Arayos? Don't all jump and attack me on that statement, but that could be one way of formulating the question. Or if you want to beef up the question a little bit, it's Gilei Arayos because she was a married woman. She was married to Mordechai, Tikra Labas, Elabayas, famous Gemara Maseches Megillah. So if you choose to ask this question, which just about everybody asks, you could present the question in multiple ways. You could ask it either as, hey, wait a second, what do you, how could a Chinik and drain a cup with Esther for Hesya? Ask a better question. Ask a stronger question. Ask a more powerful question. Is there Gilei Arayos? Gilei Arayos 1A, Gilei Arayos 1B. You want to go down the route of living with a goy? You want to go down the route of Eishes Ish? Either way, you want to present the question. Just before we even figure out whether it's a good question in the first place, why would we prefer to ask 1A over 1B, or why would we prefer to ask 1B or 1A? Each permutation of the question has a mylem shesorim to it. To ask the question from, hey, Esther's living with a goy, isn't that the Arias? So there's a mylem to that question. You don't have to fall back on any midrashim, altikur labasa labayis, maybe that everyone agrees to that drasha, you know, maybe we're not bound by that gemara, that gemara Megillas Agadata. So if you're just reading Megillas Esther, and you're learning Maseches Sanhedrin, and you don't have that middle piece, that piece of that puzzle of Atikul Labasa Labayis, that means she was married, so then you would probably prefer to ask the question, hey, she's not a Jewish woman living with a non-Jew. That would be the advantage of formulating the question that way. The downside of formulating the question that way is, who says living with a non-Jew is giving you rights? So you got to learn Pashas Hermos, okay? You got to learn this week's Pasha Hermos and take a look. We usually think that Gilead Rais are the women that are listed in Pashas Achiroth. That's the way the Rambam, the beginning of the Ishus, defines it. It doesn't say anything about Jewish women with non-Jewish men. So it would be a harder halachic sell. So almost the advantage of asking the question the first way is almost better from like a Pshutav Shemikra, so to speak, vantage point, but it's more difficult from a halachic point of view. Where if you go down the second question, so yeah, halachically, that makes a lot of sense. Hey, she's an Ishus Ish. On the other hand, who says she's an Eshes Ish? The Gemara Megillah. Who says everyone agrees to that Gemara Megillah? So some Rishonim pose the question one way, some pose the other way. But just let all Rishonim pose the question in some shape or form.
Even if it's Eshes Ish, would it be a problem if he's a guy?
Okay, that's going to be matters. You're already in the Ramban. You're already in the tiny lines in the Muhammad. Didn't even make it today's Maram Kamas, but we'll, down the line, Mitzvah. So we just. Well, that Kaka Olam South, we know the answers are going. We know the Gemara has the answer to Perhesi. What we're worried is why didn't the Gemara even ask the Gidei Arayis question? So the first one on the page to pose this question is Rabbeinu Tam. This is the Balei Tosfos quoting the court. The answer for Rabbeinu Tam is Rabbeinu Tam's query already. So let's take a look at Bar Esther Perhesi Avoy. Tema. Tahavale Lakshuye Arayis Avoy. Why didn't the Gemara ask straightforward that it's Gilead Arayis? Now, notice how Tosfos poses the question in a very non-committal way. They don't commit themselves, are they asking Gilead Arayis because she's an Ishus? They don't say Kidei Seb and Megillah, at least at this point. On the other hand, they do use the phrase Gilead Arayis, which l'chora conjures up the image of Ishus Ish. So they're kind of non-committal in whether they're going down 1A or 1B, but they're definitely the thrust of the Tosfos is that's Gilead Arayis. And after all, the Ratzeach ben Aaron Rasa, the Kuliyami or Vayavar. So Tosfos is almost a little bit apologetic for asking the question. You see, Tosfos is a little nervous about the question. You know, this is like a style kind of a question. Sometimes the Gemara will ask a question, and you'll see some Rishonim will say, why did the Gemara ask you the other question? Oh, from the fact that the Gemara didn't ask the other question, it shows the other question is not a good question, and then you have to, you know, turn the world upside down to figure out why, what was wrong with the other question. And sometimes you can make mamish til shalochas, you can make shtikotash, you can make shakloes based on inferences, but why didn't the Gemara ask a different question? That's how Tosfos starts out over here. That why didn't the Gemara ask the question of Gilead Arayis? So Tosfos is trying to figure out Taka, why not? One could have simply ignored this whole kasha and say, why didn't they ask him? The idea shlema. Sometimes the Gemara will ask a question. It could have asked another one. Migo could have asked another question. Maybe it has one question, two questions, three questions. The Gemara says, we're not peddlers. We don't have to keep on calling out all our wares. I mean, sometimes you ask one question. Lopped off, that's an indication. That's the only question. It's one of multiple questions. So you can already tell that Tosfos is a little bit hesitant in the presentation of the question. They're afraid to make a whole shtickel Torah just based on this question, but they boost the question. They strengthen the question a little bit. Ruchmoichin kasha, it's basically the same exact question. The Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Ksubis. So let's take a look at the context of that Gemara Maseches Ksubis, because it's going to become a pivotal Gemara for us. In order to appreciate the second half of the kasha. So again, the first half of the kasha was our sugya, but we already realized ties to hemming and hawing, maybe it's not the greatest question in the world. So the context of the Gemara Ksubis of Gilma Beis is actually a continuation of the first mission of the Sechas Ksubis. The famous first mission of Ksubis talks about Basula Nises the Yom Rvi. Bizman Chazal, it was common practice that a girl would get married when she getting married for the first time as a basula on Wednesday. My high Wednesday, what's the mile of Wednesday? Nothing. Except it's the day before Thursday. What's the mile of Thursday? Beis Din sits on Thursday. Oh, Beis Din, who's going to Beis Din? Well, every once in a while, a marriage could get off on the wrong foot. He claims she's not a basula. She says, okay, who knows what'll happen? They'll have a big fight the first night, and they're going to go right to Beis Din. So we want this court, the case to make the Beis Din as soon as possible. We don't want this to sit around for too long. So we'll let them go to Beis Din right away. Therefore, basula nisayis the Yom Arvi. In theory, it could have been basula nisayis the Yom Harishon also. It also could have potentially solved that problem. The Gemara says there are some logistical chul Shabbos problems. It means, lav dafka, we want to have weddings on Sundays. Weddings on Sundays could spell trouble because caterers could be doing some preparation they shouldn't be doing. So we usually don't have weddings on Motzei Shabbos. I don't know of any frum people today who have weddings on Motzei Shabbos for that reason. But anyway, so bottom line is basula nisayis the Yom Harvi. So the Gemara says that's great, that's wonderful, but there was a big problem. The big problem was that the Rambam, the Yunif, it was Chanukah, describes this story took place with Mehay Avonim. This whole discussion took place in the days of the Avonim. That one of the many terrible things that the Greeks tried to do before the Nes of Chanukah was Sholtu Yadem Bivnoseyan. That's the Lashon Rambam, paraphrasing this Gemara. That the Greeks, the Goyish soldiers, used to go after the Jewish girls. And particularly the leaders, the captains, the generals. So they would try to chop around whatever they could to be mezana with the Jewish girls. And they would dafka do it in the most nuvaldik way. They would dafka take the girls right before the wedding. Mamash, the girl was ready at Eshazish, she was ready Mikudeshes. So they would check the invitations in front of them. And they would, Wednesday's the big wedding day. That's when they would start trouble. So the Gemara discusses the possibility of maybe we should switch the wedding day. Maybe we should confuse them. We'll start having weddings on Motzei Shabbos, weddings on Tuesday, or Friday, to mix up the Greeks. So that's the context of this whole Gemara. On the one hand, Chazal were misakin at the right time to have a wedding is on a Wednesday. On the other hand, now we have certain extenuating circumstances. So the Gemara is a fascinating discussion. So the Gemara says that Maisa Kona, it's on Nef Gimel Mebeis. So the Gemara, the first word is Techila. It's about 10, 12 lines from the top. So my sakana, the Brisa said that we put in a sakana, so you can change things. My sakana, ilayim the amrei besula hanises the amrei tehoreg. So the Gemara thought that the sakana that we're referring to, not that they would be mezadi, they were killing every. They wanted to destroy every Jewish marriage. They would start killing off the young girls. The Gemara says if that's the case. Nagul legamenakri. So then the Beis Din should have been misaking to uproot the sakana. The Brisa that the Gemara quoted was that. B'shasa sakona, so the minig changed. Don't get married on Wednesday. There should have been a takona sakhamim, never get married on Wednesday. They should have mamash abolished the takona. But there's a mokab sakona, Beis Din's mechuyif to uproot the takona. So the Gemara says, no, it wasn't sakonas nefashas. Nobody was getting killed. He says, what's going on is as follows. Amar Rabbi, the Amri B'sula Nisa, the Yom Ravi, Tibola Hagbam Techila. That was the sakona that we said before, that the goyim were grabbing them and being mezana with them. Says the Gemara, "Hai sakono, onesu." That's not a sakono. That means someone's going to get killed. Ones means that the woman's going to get attacked, get raped. Okay, that, it's terrible. Gefeiloch. That's not sakono. So the Lashon HaBrais is not right. Gemara says, "No. That was sakono. Why? Mishum deiketznuos the masun of shaya lektala the asla de sakono. What was happening? That the goyim were attacking the again. They were married women because they were had already had kedusha 6 months before." So the goyim were taking them, they were attacking them, and some of the girls were putting up a fight. And they were putting up a fight, they were getting killed. So that was the sakana. So Gemara says, why do we let that happen? We should publicize to all these girls, the lidrish lahu, the einis shari. We should tell them not to put up a fight. It sounds like this is what's happening. You had Nebuch, these Jewish girls getting taken the day before their wedding, the goyim were attacking them, and they're fighting and screaming and yelling, and then some of them are getting killed in the process. We should tell all the girls not to fight. Don't give up your life. It's not worthy. You're not going to give up your life for that. But we should tell them that it's okay. So Gemara says, no, Ika Prutzos. Gemara says, that's not a good policy. As a public policy, we're going to tell all the girls, oh, by the way, when the goyim come for you, just go along willingly. Go along willingly, blink, blink, i.e., maybe she wants to be mezana with this guy, and she's the nation, she's into Baratzon. So Chazal are walking a tightrope here. On the one hand, we don't want anyone to get hurt. On the other hand, we don't want to open up this Pesach. That's going to be a feilach, no pun intended, the Pesach is going to become a pirtza. We have a tremendous pirtza. So that's how the Gemara concludes. So it's those four words in the Gemara that were very, very troublesome. for Lidrosh Lula on the Onishar. We should teach in all the schools, tell all the girls, you should just know that Nebuch, when you get attacked by the Goyim, go along willingly, don't put up a fight. What do you mean go along willingly? Isn't that what? Sachki the rice, Shrava Yavu. Really, Lidrosh Lula Onishar. What do those words mean? What's Pshat? What do you mean the Israel Onishar? So this question is significantly more problematic than Tosfos' questions that had Rabbi Esther. Why? Because by Esther, the Gemara never really said that a Jewish married woman with a goy is or is not Yerva Yavor because of Gil Arayis. The Gemara never really said anything. The Gemara just said, by the way, it's Parhesia. So we're inferring, oh, why didn't the Gemara say Gil Arayis? There must be some deep dark secret, some deep dark reason why. Here, the Gemara says, it's Takanat Yerva Yavor. In those four words, with that question, the Gemara is committing itself to the statement of fact, this is not Yerva Yavor. And the question begs itself, why not? It's Mamish classic Yerva Yavor. So now we have two Gemaras. One half-baked Gemara and one explicit Gemara that somehow a Jewish girl in Ksubas Dav Gimel, she's for sure married, in Sanhedrin Dalet, based on the Gemara Megillah, she's married. So we have two Mamari Chazal, two assumptions of two sugyas from two questions of the Gemara. Again, we're being medayik halachas. We're passing din nefashos based on a deal from a kash of the Gemara. Why the Gemara didn't ask the kash in Sanhedrin? Why the Gemara did ask the kash in Ksubas? Put these two sugyas together. Hey, wait a second. Why is this not classic Gil Arayis? So now we have the two Gemaras together. Let's see if we can come up with a possible answer. So comes Tosfos and quotes the neighbor of Benitam, the Tirtz of Benitam. The Ein Chayov in Nisa Abi'ilas Evik Yechavim. The act of Bia, the act of Znus with a goy, even though, again, Tosfos over here has not yet committed themselves whether she's in Eshes Ish or not, but in Ksubas they have. Ksubas, she's married. Of course she's married. She's Mekudesh in Ksubas. So she's a full-fledged halacha. She's a losina for the works. And yet, if the boyel, the person who's been zanimed is a goy, says Tosfos, that is not Gidei Arayis. And proof positive, says Rabbi Natan, if she would do it b'mezid, she wouldn't be chayim nisa for them. A married Jewish woman being zanimed with a goy is not the... I didn't say it was mutter, I said, but it's not Mises based, and that's not the Isser of most Yumas and Waifan office. It's not that. For whatever reason, why? Heichetese. Says Rabbi Natan, Mishum, Drachamona, Afgare, Lazare, Devekechav. Okay, the Armenian Brek Nisal Anusa, Dechsev, Vizirmas, Susim, Zirmas. Ben Tam coined the phrase, he's going to continue to coin the phrase a little bit later on. Bias akum, lav shma bia. It's not halachically called the Maisa bia. Where, what, who, where in the world did that come from? Ben Tam says it's based on a Gemara Maseches Yevamos of Tzadi Chesem and Aleph. If you learn the Gemara Tzadi Chesem and Aleph properly, says Ben Tam, you will immediately come to the conclusion that bias akum, lav shma bia. Where Gemara, what Gemara, who Gemara? Let's take a look at the Gemara. Yivam Estav Tzadi Chesem Nal. The Gemara at the top of Tzadi Chesem Nal, third line to the top, Omar Rava. Hada Omar Rabbanon Ein Av L'Mitzri. That which the Chachamim, quote, Chum have this phrase, Ein Av L'Mitzri. So what does that mean? This has nothing to do with an Egyptian per se. The reason why Chazal used the phrase Mitzri, because the pasuk that they're quoting happens to be talking about Egyptians. But that doesn't do with being an Egyptian. That means a god. Ein Av L'Mitzri. That Api Halacha, a non-Jewish father, doesn't register, doesn't count. It doesn't mean anything. Ein Av L'Mitzri. The non-Jewish father doesn't have a shaychus to his biological children, apidin. Now, that in and of itself is a loaded statement, because it's not exactly true. Actually, the Gemara earlier on in Maseches Yevamos draws a distinction between a goy and an evikanani in this very regard. The Gemara says that an evikanani who has a child, that child is not his. For all Dini HaTorah, lock stock about it, there's absolutely zero relationship, zero connection between the Eved Kenani and his child, to such an extent that the Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin, Eved Kenani Muta Bebito, even though goyim and Evakanani are sure that the Gili Arayas, the Arayas from the Shebetz is Benoyach, an Evakanani is allowed to be together with his own daughter. Why? It's not his daughter. Apidin, there's no Shaychas. How do we know that? Shvulachem poem achamor, amadam lachamor, nothing, zero. Gornish from gornish from gornish, no connection whatsoever. This is in contrast to a goy. A goy, the Gemara says, that a goy is taka asur b'bitay. If a goy is bezalim with his daughter, he's chai mis, that's from Shebetz to Bnei Noach. So a goy is related to his child. His child is related to him. So what does the Gemara mean? Hey, nav l'mitzi, what do those words mean?
Don't we usually have a kamachomo where something that's asur to a goy that shouldn't be
matan, to it? That's a dinder abanan shlo yom uban mekdusha chamur lekdusha kal. That means when a person converts, so technically speaking, min haTorah, he becomes mutter to all his relatives. So that means that min haTorah, let's say, a goy and his daughter want to get...
In general, for a Jew, if there's something that's usher for a goy, and it should be mutter for us, meaning sort of like a...
Right. The Gemara says, right, but that's not this. This is different because an Eved Kenani can't marry someone who's a lachli his daughter. There's just nobody who's a lachli his daughter. He doesn't have the hechatimtz of having a daughter. So Eved Kenani is also chayv noli arayas. It's just that he doesn't have arayas. This woman is not his daughter. She may have his genes, may have his DNA, but halachli she's not his daughter. So the Gemara is very clear in Sanhedrin and Yevamos in a few places that goyim do have yachas to their children. We just spoke about this in the... This is in the Shabbat of Rosh Hashanah, we spoke about it. If a non-Jew has children, and then he converts and the children convert, we pass the Rabbi Yochanan, he's yotze peruvah. Why? They're his kids. Whereas the Gemara says that if a Kenani has children and then he's freed and the children are freed, he's not yet to prove because they're not his kids. So it's clear in the Gemara that goyim have yachas. What in the world does the Gemara mean in Avla Mitzri? What do the words mean? So what it means is there's no yachas between the goy and his Jewish children. Ain't Kol's man that he's a goy and they're goyim, they're happily related to one another. But the minute that we want to create a yachas between a goy and someone who is halachically Jewish, that doesn't register. That doesn't exist. Ain't av l'mitzri. What's the example that the Gemara gives? The Gemara says as follows. So Amar Rabba, how the Amar Rabba in av l'mitzri? Lo teva, don't say, mishum deshtufei bezima, the lo yadia. One could have argued, why is there no shaychas between the goy and the children? I would say, you know why? Because we don't really know who's the father. There's no DNA testing. We don't know who the father is. So the goy is bizarre with this woman, she's bizarre with this man. Like in Mitzrayim, like Makas Bechairis, every five people had five Bechairis, ran the whole story, Chazal say. So says the Gemara, says Rabbi, that's not the reason why Ein Lav Mitzrayim. Why? Even though we know for absolutely 1,000% scientifically, he's the genetic father, he's the genetic child, there's no yachas. What's the raya? From the following strange scenario. And that's what's doing in Yivam HaSadiches. Tashnei achin ta'omim, t'tipa achas hava, v'nechlo l'shtayim, u'ktonei seifo l'cholzav l'miyavnin. The Mishnah of Tzadik Zayin of the Beis has the following scenario. You have a non-Jewish woman who happens to be pregnant with twins. Let's call them identical twins to make the tipa achas mamish more scientifically correct. She's pregnant with twins, twin boys, and she undergoes a geirus. So the Gemara tells us early in Yevamos, she's Jewish and the children are Jewish as well. Are those two boys, when they're born, are they brothers or not? Funny question. Are they brothers or not? So the Gemara explains, the Mishnah of the Gemara explains it to us, that Yisayin, they're half-brothers. What does that mean? They're brothers through the mother, they're not brothers through the father. Wait a second, let's scratch our heads for that one. From the fact that the Gemara is calling them brothers through the mother, what halach is clearly not applying here? Normally we say a person converts, so they're not related to anybody. So for some strange reason, we don't know why yet, we're not learning Tzadik Zayin and Yevamos yet, a few weeks down the line, Daf Yomi. For some strange reason, Gershis Gai doesn't apply here. Whatever that reason is, not for now. Because if Gershis Gai comes to know what Dami would mean, then their mamash not related to Bechlal. So they're related through the mother. But the Mishnah is adamant they're not related to the father. And now, What's the nafkamina that not related to the father? What can they not do? Yibam. They cannot do yibam. And if they try to do yibam one to another, you know what they just violated? The issa karis of eshazach, shalom mocha mitzvah. Because you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife, even if it's only a half-brother through the mother, and Yibam is only a matah for the Eishas Ach min Av. So that's what the Mishnah says. Hagiyevish and Izgai Rabbana imalo chotzev abiyavmin. Okay? Cannot do Yibam because they're not brothers to the father. So he asks the Gemara and Tzadiches, why not? Why aren't they brothers to the father? Why not? We know it's the same father. It's the same pregnancy. Tipa achas v'necho ishayim. Call it identical twins. At mitosis, whatever stage of the, it's the same baby, it's the same DNA. Why are they not brothers and Av? You know what the answer is? Because of three magic words. Ein, Av, Lemitri. Hatayra, Afkare, Lazare, Demitri. And they work with a pasuk, a strange pasuk from Yecheskel to that effect. It's a din in Hatayra, a pasuk, Allah Chesed, whatever the makar is. Hatayra, Fkir, Lazare, Shalom, Mitri, Lazare, Shalom, Akum. So there's no, the Zera of a Goy is not called the Zera. Finish, end of discussion. That was the whole Gemara, lock, stock, and barrel that Rabbeinu Tam discovered. And what did Rabbeinu Tam say? Look at Rabbeinu Tam again. Rabbeinu Tam is trying to prove to you, in Sanhedrin 9 Dalit, that if the Eishes Ish, Yisraelis, is Mezana with the Goy, that's not called Osinuf. You know why? It's not called Osinuf, because the Torah after Elazar, Devek Yechavim, Kidamina Breknis, Nezal Anusa, Zimasus, Timozim, Osim. Am I missing something here? The Gemara in Yevamos Tadiches is talking about Yichus. Is this child Api Din the Goy's child or not? Rabbeinu Tam is talking about the Maisavia. What do the two have to do with each other? There's a missing piece of this puzzle of Rabbeinu Tam. There's a leap of faith here we don't understand. What's true? Could Rabbeinu Tam be saying the following phenomenal chiddush, a startling chiddush, potentially very, very significant chiddush? Could Rabbeinu Tam be postulating that from the fact that the Torah is mafkir the zera of the mitzri, why is that so? What is that? Where does that come from, that the Torah is mafkir the zera? That's part of a general picture called, you know why the Torah is mafkir the Zera? Because Zera, i.e. Yichus, comes about through a Maisabiya. And if the Torah is mafkir the Zera, that's another way of saying the Torah declared this Nishkan Maisabiya. If you learn that a Maisabiya is a prerequisite for Yichus HaZera, if that's true, I didn't say it's true yet. I'm saying, if you want to go down that route, that a Maisabiya is the prerequisite for Yichus HaZera, so Rabbeinu Tam's proving backwards. I'm saying, well, we know for a fact that there's no yichus. That's the Kaveri Shigamara. Why is that? It must be that the prerequisite for that halacha is the unwritten statement. It's not just stab up zeres across the bialma, but it must be that licked in that din that there's no zera for mitri. That's because that's a result of the fact that ebi yosebiya. Is that Rabbeinu Tam saying? If that's Rabbeinu Tam saying, Rabbeinu Tam just opened up our eyes to something fascinating. That the concept of Yichus HaZera, who's Mesiach HaSachahu, is somehow linked to some physical Maisabiyah that takes place, some halachic Maisabiyah that takes place. Is that Rabbeinu Tam said? Love Dafka. It could be Rabbeinu Tam never in a million years meant to say, what in the world does Yichus have to do with Bia? Apidin, Idi, or Mesiach HaSach, Mesiach HaSach. Yichus is the Zera, you have the DNA, you don't have the DNA. Well, what does it have to do with Maisabiyah?
Yeah,
or
the show, it's not that way.
What?
Mine talks about Tchilas Bia. It's before it is any Zara, and it's already considered a Maisabiyah to be.
No, it means by Yisrael, you know, you don't need a Tzad Zara in order to be called a Bia, that's for sure. But by Yisrael, so the, obviously Yisrael is Mesiachas Achar's parents, Achar's father for this case. So because a Bia is Yisrael, is called a Bia. From the fact that the Torah tells us that a Bia is Achar, I'm sorry, that a Zara Achar is Ishkin Zara, that is because Bia is Achar's own Bia. So, it's like the reverse of geometry. It doesn't always, one doesn't have to always be the same to lead to the other. Well, maybe Rabbeinu Tam, to say such a thing, like, the taste of the two should be linked to one another. What Rabbeinu Tam meant was, it's the same Gzer Sakosov. What's the Gzer Sakosov? Zir Masusim, Zir Masum. The Navi, which Halacha Masina, whatever, is comparing the Goyim in these areas to Susim, Chamayim, to basically, to not in halachic terms, again, but this is not derogatory, we're not saying anything negative, we're not saying anything bad, we're not saying that. This is, we're just using halachic terminology, so please, everyone should be meichel. Okay? Zirba susim zim osim. All Rabbi Natan meant was, the same way that the Gzeres HaKos of Zirba susim zim osim tells me that it's not a zera, it's not a bee also. Is it because, is one the reason for the other? No. The lack of zera is not a result of lack of bia. They're both true. There's a lack of bia and a lack of zera. There's a lack of zera and a lack of bia. Ma'inyan zera. It's not one is the cause and effect of the other. It's very often in life. It happens all the time. Two things happen. So this is common. This is the most common basic mistakes in the world people make. Two things happen. Say, it must be that A is the cause of B. Ma'pitom is with B. A happened and B happened. They happen to both coincide at the same time. I gave you the example, the perfect example. I'm looking around, and no one should be insulted because I give you an example about myself. There used to be a joke going around that you go to Kerbi Yavna and you come back bald. That used to be the joke. So what was the pshat? It must be the food in Kerbi Yavna. That was always, it must be the food in Kerbi Yavna. What's the terrace? The terrace is you go to Kerbi Yavna, how old are you? In 1920, which is the age where that's when your hairline starts to recede. So whoever went to Kerbi Yavna or didn't go to Kerbi Yavna, it's the same time in life. So it happens to be that the 20-year-olds are coming back receding hairlines, and they're also learning to Kerbi Yavna. My Indian Kerbi Yavna, it's losing a hair. That was the rebuttal of that. So again, can't say for certain, but my son, I went to Kerbi Yavna and came back home. So Havav of Dolas. We don't say Rabbeinu Tam meant. Did Rabbeinu Tam mean that A is the cause of B? Rabbeinu Tam meant A happened and B happened. And they both happen to be true, and they both happen to come from the same pulse, but not A is not the cause of B.
How can you say the first shot?
Yeah. Right, so it's a funny kind of means the din of yichas vis-a-vis Yisrael is a function. They can have a yichas, a brisk or yichas. I tell them back on brisk. There's a yichas vis-a-vis hilchas akam shaboy. So then you don't need the ma'isabiyah. Vis-a-vis Yisrael shaboy, then you need ma'isabiyah. Right. It's a strange thing. It's a very, very strange thing. No matter how you slice that, it's strange that there's yichas vis-a-vis kolzman is a goy, and then it changes once it becomes so. You're right. It's a strange issue. But so I'm going to ask you, since you opened up your mouth, I'm going to ask me, I was going to tell you anyways, I'm going to ask you, bring me an Evan Ezra if you can. Evan Ezra, Shulchan Aruch. There's only one volume. Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezra. So this latest asofik that we have in Rabbeinu Tam is potentially monumental. What is the relationship, alak darav, between Maisa Biya and Yichus Hazera? What? Yeah, for sure. So, in the olden days, this wasn't the most common child of Maisa. I can't even begin to tell you what the numbers percentage-wise are of people who come to the world this way.
So if it's not a
Maisa
here, then there can't be
Yichud Deraisa
between a guy and a woman.
There's never Yichud Deraisa. Even though there would have been a Maisa here. Even if you had disproved Rabbeinu Tam, there's no Yichud Deraisa for sure.
Right, so
but not because of that. Even if you hold against Rabbeinu Tam, the Gemara is beferish that the Yichud Deraisa is only by
Rabbeinu Tam. I would think that if it is, then it would create a
No, not necessarily. Yichud and Bia, not maybe, but not. So there's a very, very innocent statement of a Beis Shmuel tucked away. It's an Aleph. I put it on the. Did I send that to Mamakom? So it came through. No, I sent it through. The Mamakom came through today. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pirkei Avos, Siman Aleph. The Beis Shmuel is quoting from Mechalkos Mechokek, the two Nosakelim on Shulchan Aruch. So we're going to read it from the Beis Shmuel. It's on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, it's about, in the skinny line, start about the fourth line itself.
On the right side?
On the left side. It says Beis Shmuel on top. You see Beis Shmuel on top? Kosa Mechalkos Mechokek. Yesh l'estapek Isha shenis abra b'yambati. A woman literally became pregnant in a bathtub. It's a Gemara Maseches Chagiga, which basically means, and it's a big machlokes whether it could even happen physically. Machlokes in the Gedolei Acharonim, whether the Gemara meant this as a real shiloh that it could mamish happen, or the Gemara was just kind of, throwing it around as a theoretical possibility. The woman went to the bathtub. It was the same bathtub. There was a man who was there a minute before. There was, his zera was in the tub, and it went, the water brought in, and she became pregnant. Can that even physically happen? Maybe. Isha Sasabu Bambati. So the Beis Shmuel had a shayla. Is the father Mekayim Peruvu? The Imnikre B'noi L'Cholover. Is Al Pidin considered to be a son? I will tell you before we get to the conclusion of the discussion, the maskanas apoiskim is, the answer is yes, it is considered to be his child. So nobody should have any second chalisa da'at. Apidin, we pask in aloch, lamais, and nimna begamu, the later post of the last 50 years, that it is considered to be full-fledged son. It's nisiach hazachra v'chol dinei ha'tayra. But, wait, hang in there. V'yesh lavi raya. So listen to this raya of the Beis Shmuel. Which goes by a girl smach, a raya from Rabbeinu Peretz, in the bottom of the Sefer Smach. So it's got, and there were notes written by one of the G'dolei Rishonim, the Baalei HaTayis of Rabbeinu Peretz. V'yabach hevi b'yardesim k'uf tzadihei. Rabbeinu Peretz has the following practice. I'm not sure what to call it. A practice. He says, don't do the following. Isha muzeres, she'al tishkav al sadin she'shachav alein ish acher. A married woman, or a regular woman for that matter, should not sleep on a sheet that another man slept on recently. Why? Pentis abir b'shech v'zerah shal acher. Because who knows, crazy, one in a billion cases, there'll be shech v'zerah on the sheet, she'll lie on the shech v'zerah, somehow, she'll become pregnant from it. Again, is it going to happen? Not going to happen? I'm not commenting on the science of it or not. But, and that wild, far-fetched chance, she shouldn't do that. And what will be so terrible? It's all go fail. Look if it happens. What will be so bad? So listen to what the Beis Shmuel says. What's going to be so bad? Says Rabbeinu Peretz, Gezeira shemayisa achoso me'aviv. What will happen is, she'll become pregnant from the Zera. She won't have a clue who the real halachic father of this child is. She'll think it's her husband's, not knowing that it's really somebody else's. And what will be so terrible of that? Yisachos me'aviv. It'll turn out that down the line, a brother may end up marrying a sister. If you don't know whose father is who, you don't know who's related to, so gefelach, terrible gilei raya could happen. Brothers could end up marrying sisters, v'chulei. What's the Bishmol's raya? There's no ma'isabiyah here, b'chlal, nothing that resembles living a dead in ma'isabiyah. What happened? Says the Bishmol, ma'ash b'davi b'no l'chol dover. That child is considered to be the halachic child of the biological, so to speak, owner of that zera, even though there's no ma'isabiyah anywhere near. That's what Rabbeinu Peretz, that's the diak of the Beis Shmuel from Rabbeinu Peretz, and all the later poskim, the last 50 years, Ruba the poskim went along with this idea. But yeah, the child is b'siach ha'sach, the child is b'siach ha'sach, without a ma'isabiyah. If one possibility that we have with Asher Rabbeinu Tam is right, that Rabbeinu Tam is bringing a raya from no zera to a goy, therefore by definition no bia to a goy. So if the pshat of Rabbeinu Tam's raya was, Rabbeinu Tam is learning it's zet tolui v'zeh, one is a cause of the other, then Rabbeinu Tam would be taking issue with this Rabbeinu Peretz. Lefiyan yas da'iti, there's no need to learn Rabbeinu Tam the way. There's no hechach for Rabbeinu Tam, there's no reason to make machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Peretz. It's very possible that all Rabbeinu Tam meant was, they're both true. The same zera kosov. There's no beer for going. There's no zera for going. There's no zera for going. There's no beer for going. One because of the other, not necessarily. And therefore, there's no lefini is that there's no hechrich. Maybe if she doesn't, I don't know what Rabbeinu Tam said, but I don't see any hechrich gomor for Rabbeinu Tam to argue with this deal of gomor that the Beis Shmuel had in the name of Rabbeinu Peretz. Now, of course, this is a loaded topic, kayadua, because many children today are conceived this way, various medical concerns, medical considerations. Difficult, whatever it is, having children in a natural way, for an array of different permutations of these processes, and shall becomes, is this Mesiach Sacharov? Again, the Maskana's question today is that yes, it is considered to be Mesiach Sacharov, but if one would have learned a slightly different nuance in Rabbeinu Tam, maybe one could have created a Machlokes, possibly, out of this. There's a further question that if you notice, the Beis Shmuel raised two questions. The Beis Shmuel and the Cheres Baruch raised two. Where is this halacha duchas pir v'rivia? Why? There were two questions. Is the father Kayan Puravu, and is the child considered to be his child? So the fact that the child is considered to be his child, so we had a good ride from Rabbeinu Peretz, so we don't have any really reason to believe anyone disagrees. Does that automatically mean that one's Yotzei pir v'rivia? That's also a very, very loaded question. As man is that. Just because it's your child is a pir v'rivia, why not? Like Mehecha Teisa, why not? Anyone remember a line I said under my breath in the Shabbos of Elder Russia? Somebody had to be a question, and I told him to look at a parenthesis. I don't know if anyone remembers the line of the parenthesis. L'chor, it's the same shayla. If it's your child, you have to prove him. If it's not your child, you're not, you have to prove him. So if you take a look at the Taz, and you gotta, get those
does
little.
Work for a woman like work for a man, meaning that if Zera creates the kesha to the oven, does the egg create the kesha to the
ima? It may be related. It's possibly that's related question. That's another loaded question about the determining what's called the mother, whether birth mother or egg mother. But let's just one step and take a look at the Taz. In the bottom of Shulchan Aruch, let's see if we can find it. It's the right before Ostes. See what Ostes is in the Taz? I have no idea how big those print is. Probably a disaster if I can't see a thing, right? Okay, I can barely see it in Shulchan Aruch. So I'll read it. Those who can see it, I'll read it to you. It's the line before Ostes. He quotes the Beis Shmuel, who said, "Harei b'nei l'chol davar," and the Beis Shmuel started off by saying, "Are you yet to prove who sounds like you are?" The following disagreement: the ain zeh raya, it's not a raya. The shema l'chumra aminan, the kula l'aminan. That's the stam, an arbitrary distinction. But here's the real distinction: b'prat b'midi d'tali b'kum va'asei. What did the Taz say? So there's no maisa that you do a maisa. It's bad enough, so to speak. It's hard enough. You want to kvetch, you want to be in a ride for a minute in Paris that you're misyaches without a maisa. Okay, it's a makabos on misyaches. Of a provo is a maisa mitzvah, what kind of mitzvah? The guy laid down the sheet and then he left. He doesn't even know that he ended up causing a woman to become pregnant. He's in an abati, he has no clue what's going on. What does he have to do with anything? How can he be yaitse maisa? You have to be a mitzvah provo that way. So the Taz is saying that they're two fold child here. The Chalkas B'chayk, the Beis Shmuel lumped it all together. Is he your son? Is he a pervu? Is it not your son? Not your pervu. And the Raya from Bnei Parent says, it is your son. Mamil, you're a pervu. Says the Taz, no. Not at all, Muchach. It's your son. It's your child. And you're still not your pervu. Because it's not my mitzvah. No? Who remembers? Back to Shabbat Gold Rosh now. So when somebody hacked me this question all this year, I said, look at the parentheses. Look at the bracket in the Taz. And these Shulchan Aruch is not printed in a bracket. Some Shulchan Aruch is printed in a bracket. You know why? If I'm not mistaken, this line is not from the Taz. This particular line was a ha'ara that somebody put into the Taz. That this particular dicha is not from the Taz. I'm trying to remember, was it Rav Yaakov Emden maybe who this is from? Oh, I don't remember who it was. We have to check in another version of Shulchan Aruch. I'm not so sure that this particular line is from the Taz itself. This was like a ha'ara that was put into the Taz. A later going, Gedolei Olam may have said it, but it wasn't the Taz. We said the whole thrust of the Shabbos HaGadol, second half of the Shabbos HaGadol Rosh was that Piruvu never has a Maisa Mitzvah. There is no Maisa Mitzvah. That's the Mechas Chiduch for it. The whole Mitzvah is not to be. The whole Mitzvah is the result. And therefore, there's no Chiduch whatsoever. If it's your child, you have to Piruvu. That seems to be the assumption of the Paiskim today also. Any of these babies that are conceived in any shape or form, if tachlis, if it's your zera, it's misyachis to you, it's your child, you're yotzi piriv, I'm showing you, come on, you finish. And it's a nice lot of lumdus, but the oil ma'asiya, the zman hazeh, nimnu v'gomu, that seems to be what the Lefianiya's deity seems to be the consensus of the overall majority of the poskim. But again, that Rabbi Natam, that nuance of Rabbi Natam could potentially be a wrinkle in this particular sugya. So the bottom line is, we saw where Rabbi Natam got it from. It took us a lot of explanation to do, but we have barely scratched the surface because Rabbi Natam is about to take what he just said and turn the world upside down with a kulash that the world shuddered when they heard this. The Maisa Shoya Kachoyev, Rabbi Natam, the wild Maisa Shoya that happened. Rabbi Natam was matir, a very, very serious shot to Shav, and this is the Raisa based on this Shtichot Torah. So stay tuned. That's for next week. We'll try to.